We interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you the press conference announcing that on March 29, 2019, Bishop Robert J. Brennan will be installed as the 12th bishop for the Diocese of Columbus. And now, George Jones, the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Columbus.
Good morning. I'm George Jones, Communications Director for the Diocese. I'd like to thank you all for coming on this very cold January morning to help us spread the word of a very important event here in the life of the Diocese of Columbus. Our time here is relatively short today, so I'd like to basically take this opportunity to immediately introduce our bishop, Bishop Campbell, for a very important announcement and presentation. Bishop?
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Good morning to you all. As I think many of you already know, church law mandates that when a bishop has completed his 75th year, he is to submit a letter of resignation to the Holy Father, and as the canon says, for his consideration. I did that several months ago, and apparently now the Holy Father has completed his consideration and accepted my resignation as Bishop of Columbus. And so looking toward in the future years to retirement, I am deeply grateful for all of the wonderful support and help that I have enjoyed as Bishop of Columbus among all of the faithful, the clergy, the laity, in the many projects that we completed, and the many ways by which we shared our faith through these years. At the same time that the Holy Father accepted my resignation as Bishop of Columbus, he appointed a successor who will be the 12th bishop of the diocese. He is Bishop Robert Brennan, up to this time auxiliary bishop of the Diocese of Rockville Center in New York. And I should like to introduce him to you. There will be a two-month hiatus, I think, where we both catch our breaths, and he will be formally installed as the 12th bishop on the 29th of March. In that interval, the Holy Father has appointed me apostolic administrator of the Diocese of Columbus so that the life and the work of the diocese may continue smoothly. But I should like to introduce to you now Bishop Brennan to have him say a few words to you. Bishop, welcome, in fact, to the Diocese of Columbus.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell. I appreciate your kind welcome. And thanks to all of you for being here today. I greatly appreciate it. I really do. I was driving on the Long Island Expressway on Saturday, January 19th, on my way to a series of events when I received a call from Archbishop Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, with the happy news that the Holy Father had appointed me as Bishop of Columbus. He asked me, "Are you alone?" And then he asked, "Do you think you need to pull over?" All I could think of is that happened a minute ago when you first called. As I said, I was going from one event to another, and actually kind of a series of events that would lead me to getting on the plane the next morning for Panama to be with the young people. We had about 200 young pilgrims from Rockville Center with the Holy Father. World Youth Day was incredible. Being with the Holy Father with some 700,000 young people from around the world. There was such exuberance, great faith. Along the streets of Panama City, one could see groups of young pilgrims. Inevitably, one or two would be leading a group with the flags held high. They would be joyfully singing. There'd be all kinds of cheers and anthems. Groups would cry out to one another. It was amazing to watch and uplifting, actually, to be part of those groups a little bit along the way. Looking more closely, you might see how within the groups, people were trading pins and stickers, helping one another along the way, giving water where needed. At one point, I was actually blocked. I actually ran into the Holy Father by mistake. He was crossing. We were trying to get across town, and we were blocked. And it was because of the papal motorcade and the Pope coming by in the Pope mobile. And there were pictures the next day in the news of pilgrims actually lifting up a guy, a fellow in a wheelchair, so that he could see above the crowd as the Pope went by. It was really quite a sight. Now, why do I tell you all this? It was all about connection, encounter with pilgrims from around the world, encounter with the Holy Father, and ultimately the encounter with Jesus Christ. Looking through the lens of the news of today and the events of this week, I was struck by an image. Here you have people of faith and hope walking together, encouraging one another with the joy of the gospel. They were helping each other, leading each other to the encounter with Jesus Christ. Friends, isn't that what we're all about here in the Church of Columbus? It makes me incredibly happy to walk this journey with you, to lead the Church of Columbus, to serve as your pastor. Until this week, I did not really know Bishop Campbell very well, but I've already experienced his great kindness in so many ways, and I look forward to being part of what he has built here with all of you in the Diocese of Columbus. Bishop Campbell, I am tremendously, tremendously grateful. And I
as well.
Thank you. And I met last night Bishop Griffin for the first time and was so impressed to be able to meet with him yesterday. Clearly, I have an awful lot to learn. I assure you of that. I've got a lot to learn. Yeah, I have to admit, I've looked at the website once or twice. So. And I must confess, I'm more than a little bit nervous. But I look forward to walking the journey with you as your pastor, to sharing the joy of the gospel and the splendor of truth. And if we can laugh and sing and raise our voices in praise of God along the way, then all the better. I'm already praying fervently for the Church of Columbus every single day. May I humbly ask your prayers for me.
Thank you.
I think we have a little time for any question that you may want to ask at this time. There will be many other opportunities, I think, to delve a little deeper. But if you have any questions at this time, we will entertain them. Will we not, Bishop?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Yes, Bishop Brennan, how familiar are you with Columbus? Have you ever, in fact, been here before?
No.
Use the microphone, please.
Yes, yeah. Surely. No, I have not. I've been to Ohio. What is it? O-H? Okay, I've been here. I have to tell you, Bishop Perez in Cleveland and I were ordained together on July 25th of 2012. So I've come to know Ohio a little bit through his eyes. I've been to Cleveland a few times. This is new ground for me. I'm looking forward to being part of the community here. Yes?
You mentioned that you have a lot to learn. What do you anticipate learning, and do you anticipate any changes in your diocese?
Well, it's kind of your first question kind of answers the second. It's too early for me to anticipate any changes because I don't even know enough to begin. But I really want to get to know people. I really look forward to working with the priests and the deacons, with the pastoral staff here. My first order of business will be to get to know them. We work shoulder to shoulder in the field and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. So that's my first order of business, to get to know the people here, beginning with those who collaborate with me. Secondly, I think I need to know the life of the church here in Columbus and get to know really the life of the community. So those are some of the practices. I don't know the very first things. I haven't met too many people here yet. I've walked through the first floor of this building. Everything is new to me. So good. One and then two. Yes.
Do you have a favorite saint?
I have a number of favorite saints. My patron saint is Saint Robert Bellarmine. He was a man of great wisdom in troubled times, and had the ability to get people to look deeper into questions rather than just knee-jerk reactions. I come from the Diocese of Rockville Center, where St. Agnes is an important saint for us, the patroness of our cathedral. She was a teenage saint who gave her life rather than give in to false promises or persecution. She's a teenager who teaches us. We have a lot to learn from our young people, and Agnes is a good example of that, yes. Very recently, on Long Island, we have a very large Hispanic community, but largely Salvadorans. And so there was great joy on Long Island this year with the canonization of St. Oscar Romero. So lots of favorite saints, yes.
Do you foresee this diocese releasing a list of clergy who have been accused of sexual abuse?
My understanding is that that's under review right now. So, again, brand new here, so I don't know enough about it, but I've seen and understand that that's underway.
What's your experience in the past with that issue? Is this been something that you've been involved
in? I have not personally been involved in it. In the Diocese of Rockville Center, for example, we work very closely with the local law enforcement, with the DA's office, and it gets to be a complicated matter. If you're going to release lists of names like that, you have to be very accurate, and you have to be very careful. So that's a complicated process. I don't know enough about it here to be able to comment any more than that.
Is that something you think is important for a diocese to do? Is that a good sort of faith with the
It's a hard question to answer because I think the first order of business is to work closely with law enforcement. And so that is something we have been doing where I come from, that they've been doing here for a long time. Though I think that's really the first order of business. The actual release of names, like I said, it's very complicated. I don't know enough, and I think I'm going to have to get up to speed pretty quickly. Yes, yes.
As you probably know, Columbus said that they were going to release these names back in September over the next couple of months. The other diocese that announced around the same time have already released the list. Do you anticipate that before the transition happens in March, that list will be available?
I don't know. Yes, okay. Yes, would you? Yes.
We are in the final process of organizing that list. We wanted to be extremely careful in it. As we put the names together, the chancellor of the diocese, who as chancellor is primarily responsible for the documents and records of the church, has worked very, very hard over the past months to get everything going back to 1868, which was the foundation of the diocese. And we are now working with our legal people to complete that list. We want it to be reviewed by our lay review board. And yes, we are preparing that list. But we wanted to be really careful about it because of all of the emotions, all of the questions that will surround it. We wanted to be very careful. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Yes.
Bishop Room, do you have a particular pastoral focus as auxiliary in the Rockville Center, and how do you see yourself going forward, connecting with different groups, ministries, those kind of.
I've been very fortunate in close to 30 years as a priest, to have had such a wide variety of pastoral experiences. both inside of church administration and at the parish level. I think I've been just about everywhere and enjoyed it all. Being a priest is such a wonderful adventure. Just the simple fact of being a priest opens up so many doors, so many horizons, invites you into so many areas of people's lives and community life and church life. So I've been working lately a lot with the immigrant community on Long Island, and they've embraced me with tremendous kindness. I'm humbled by their goodness to me. Over the years, I had done a fair amount of work in youth ministry. Over the years, I've worked in catechetical ministry. You name it, in the parish, I've been there, not because of any virtue on my part, but because of all the opportunities and all the good people who are so welcoming and inviting me into those areas of pastoral life. Yes. Vocations will be a very important focus, and I know that Bishop Campbell has been working on that. I know we have a very good tradition here. We have some very fine priests, some of whom I've already met, but who are encouraging and inspiring others to become priests. To those seminarians and to those who are considering priesthood, I give a lot of credit. It's never easy to make that decision and to do so in a world that's in such tumult and in the church that's in such tumult requires tremendous heroism. And so I salute them and thank them for their response and certainly encourage. As I said, it's a great adventure being a priest. And if the Lord is calling someone to that, same with religious life, great adventure. I know some really very fine religious women and men, and they would say the same thing about their lives and their vocation. If the Lord is stirring your heart, there's probably something to it, and I certainly want to do what I can to encourage it. Thank you. Good. Yes?
Can you talk about the tumultuous times the church is facing? How does the church survive and go forward?
Oh, that's an easy question. The church survives through the Holy Spirit. It's really that plain and in the presence of our Lord. Our part is a little bit more complicated. And so we have to put our faith, our trust in the Holy Spirit. We have to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, even though sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes we're going to have to take difficult steps. Sometimes we're going to have to face some hard truths. But the fact of the matter is, I mentioned before that I'm a little nervous. That's an understatement. But there's a certain confidence that comes in knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us to the truth and help us to live that truth together with one another.
You've been listening to the press conference announcing that on March 29th, 2019, Bishop Robert J. Brennan will be installed as the 12th bishop for the Diocese of Columbus. Heavenly Father, grant Bishop Robert J. Brennan the heart of your Son, the heart of the Good Shepherd. Bestow upon him the zeal of St. Paul in preaching the good news, the humility of St. John Vianney in ministering the sacraments, the compassion of St. Vincent de Paul in serving those most in need, and the wisdom of St. Augustine in teaching the doctrine of the Church. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we rejoin our regularly scheduled programming.